Well, the music has been great today, hasn't it? Let's thank all of our musicians, Brother Corey and Madeline. Thank you for all that you do. It really has been a wonderful day. How many of you got plenty to eat? Yeah, I can tell I have a task ahead of me here now. I understand that. Let's give a big round of applause to all of those who worked behind the scenes to make today a reality. Of course, among them is our staff who serves so capably. Brother Size does so much of the organization and administration for this particular Sunday. And always remember that on Anniversary Sunday, we're celebrating not only the church anniversary, but Brother Sides and his family's anniversary here at the church. It was 9 years ago that the Lord brought them here, and that was a good day. Let's thank the Sides family for all that they do. Then, Dr. Weaver, thank you for the wonderful message that you brought this morning, just so fitting for the occasion. I could really sense the presence of the Holy Spirit here this morning. Thankful for folks coming into the church and a little girl being baptized. It's been a great day. I have a good report for you. Dr. Barber got with me just in between the services, and he was able to return home from the hospital. So God's already answering your prayers. Let's praise the Lord for that. Well, if you have your Bibles, go with me today to Joshua chapter 4. Joshua chapter 4. And I want to talk to you for just a few minutes about raising memorials. Why should we celebrate a church anniversary? Many churches don't do it anymore. If the anniversary gets any recognition, it's usually a 2 or 3 minute blurb during the Sunday morning service, and they move on. Well, throughout the scriptures, seminal moments were marked by building a monument. In the patriarchal days, when God would bless Abraham or Isaac or Jacob, something important would happen in their lives. They would stop what they were doing, and they would build an altar at a certain place. It was their way of making a memory, if you will. They were saying, this is a significant moment in my life. I don't want to forget it. Not only that, they wanted all those who passed by in that monument to share in that special moment so they could testify of what the Lord had done for his people. We see the building of a memorial in Joshua chapter 4. Look there with me, if you will, in verse 4. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. It's a remarkable story. A new generation is headed into the promised land. And much like was done in the previous generation, when the children of Israel put their feet in the water dried up, and they passed through the Jordan River on dry, solid ground. And God instituted that every tribe would choose a man, and those men would lead the people across the Jordan River. And as they were passing through that riverbank, each of those men would pick up a stone and put it on his shoulder. And when they got to the other side, they would mound up those stones. So it would be an everlasting memorial, something of a primitive statue. They wanted to be able to tell their children in the generations to come what God had done for them. You know, for those of us who have been part of the 7-decade story of Worth, I think we would all say the founding of our beloved church is a seminal moment for us. And God has raised up a church that has impacted Fort Worth and the Metroplex, yea, the entire world. We believe that moment deserves a memorial, that it deserves a monument. Anniversary Sunday is an opportunity to look back and acknowledge that something significant and something eternal has happened among the group of people who call themselves Worth Baptist Church. This is also a moment for us to share that seminal moment with others, to allow new people to come into the story so we can write new pages and add some new chapters so our church might continue until the Lord comes. We don't mark these monuments with stone and wood any longer, but we would do well to mark them in our mind, to raise memorials of thanksgiving and gratitude in our hearts. And that's what Anniversary Sunday is all about. I want to give you three reasons why you should raise a memorial in your heart today. Number one, we ought to raise a memorial to glorify God for what he's done. And I tell you, folks, he's done it all. The Lord Jesus was gathered with his disciples in Matthew 16. He asked them, "Whom do men say that I am?" They had all kinds of answers. Some say you're Elias. Some say you're Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Then he asked, "Whom say ye that I am?" And it was Simon Peter who said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus responded, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. Flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." He will build his church. He did not say, "I will build your church." He didn't say, "You will build your church." He did not say, "You will build my church." He said, "I will build my church." And I just remind you today, it's his church. It's his church by right of conception. It was his idea to choose a group of people from all nations, tribes, and tongues, and to gather them together as his representatives in the world. The church was his idea, and it was a good idea. It is his by right of creation. I tell you today, Jesus is the founder of the church. He's the head of the body. He's the groom to the bride. He's the cornerstone and foundation of the building. If there was no Truett Cathy, there'd still be somebody making chicken sandwiches. And if there was no Elon Musk, somebody would still be selling electric cars. But if there was no Jesus Christ, there would be no church. It's his by right of creation. Of course, it is his by right of Calvary. He said, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." He created the church. He conceived of the church, but he bought it with his own precious blood at the cross of Calvary. As we think about our own church's history, let's just remember, Jesus has done it all. He's done it all. He saved every soul. He touched every life. He healed every broken heart. He empowered every sermon. He recovered every addict. His grace embraced every single mom. He called every preacher. He sent every missionary. He's been the subject of every song and the theme of every message. And he's the reason today. Not a preacher, not a staff, not a singer, not a program, not a building. He's the reason. People still get up out of bed 71 years later to gather in this place to worship him. And at the end of the day, human beings are just instruments in his hands. Weak and failing instruments at that, but he has done it all. So let us acknowledge on our 71st anniversary that all the credit and all the honor and all the glory and all the praise belongs to Jesus. Let's build a monument to show him all the glory belongs to you. Build a monument to glorify God for what he's done. Secondly, we ought to build a monument or a memorial to remember the people who have invested in us. Yes, Jesus does the work, but he uses people, doesn't he? Well, sure he does. The Apostle Paul in his writings often recognized those fellow servants who have been used by God to encourage him. He mentioned names like Epaphras and Epaphroditus, and Aquila and Priscilla, John Mark and Timothy, his son in the faith. We started this morning by reminding you of his words to the church at Thessalonica, how he thanked God for them and made mention of them in his prayers, remembering without ceasing their work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a good and godly thing to remember those who came before us, to remember those who have left us a legacy, to remember those who have made an impact upon our lives. Because as we all know, we've heard it already today, the church is not a building. It's not an organization. It's people. A group of baptized believers who have voluntarily joined themselves together to carry out the Great Commission. Buildings don't bring people to Jesus. People bring people to Jesus. Organizations don't sing that song in the choir that touches your heart. People do that. Organizations don't visit the sick and grieving and lonely. People do that. Organizations don't teach Sunday school lessons that help you build a strong home. No, people do that. So it's only fitting that we would pause long enough and look back for just one Sunday and remember all of those who who have marked our lives. I think today of our founding pastor, Dr. Bob Barber. We've already mentioned it. But a recent seminary grad who probably could have gone back to his father's large church in Virginia and minister there, but who had a burning passion to start a church here in the South Fort Worth area so people would have a place to hear the gospel and a place where they could belong. Imagine just 22 people present for that first Sunday morning. And he led those people in sacrifice and faith. You ever thought about it that those people bought the first hymn books and the first Bibles? They bought the first pews, taught the first Sunday school lessons, led the first songs. And the vast majority of those people have joined that great congregation in heaven. But they invested their lives in something that has outlived them. And I don't know if they'll be able to break their gaze from the throne of Jesus today, but I hope that if they have looked down upon us at Worth Baptist Church, they were happy that they made the investment that they made in their lives. I tell you today, we wouldn't be here without them. We ought to thank God for them. We think today of those who served for 35 years with Dr. and Mrs. Barber. What a generation. That generation purchased this property. That generation erected these buildings. That generation started the bus ministry and the 29ers. You know, in those early days of the church, they gave one out of every $3 that was given in the general fund to missions. Can you imagine that? God moved in that group. And the church turned from a small church that was in South Fort Worth into one of the great churches in the state of Texas with a worldwide reputation. 35 years, they sacrificed and gave and showed up and built and grew a church. On Friday, I had the opportunity with Dr. Weaver, to visit Dr. Barber in the hospital. And he was in rare form that night. He was preaching and telling stories like I hadn't heard him in a long time. He held court for about an hour, and it was a wonderful thing. I honestly felt like I was on holy ground. I really did. And he reminded me, Pastor, I've been there for 66 of the church's 71 years. And he said something to me I'll never forget. He said, I gave my life to that church. You understand, he wasn't giving his life for a building, to a letterhead, to a sign out front. He was giving his life to the people, to the Lord, to you. I just think that if someone's going to give their life for something, we ought to pause and recognize it every once in a while. And of course, I know today it's not just the pastors who give their lives to the church. Is that second shift worker who shows up on Sunday morning without sleep so he can teach his Sunday school class. Is that deacon with a full-time job and four or five kids at home who still finds the time to check on his widows and to go to visitation. Is the young person whose entire social life revolves around the activities and ministries of the youth department. Is the widow who's here every week and ties off Social Security. I tell you today, people are giving their lives to us. It ought to be meaningful and even beautiful to us. I think of those who served for 19 years with Dr. and Mrs. Weaver. Oh, how the Weavers led our church in those years with such vision and grace. So many came into our church during those years, and my wife and I just a part of that group. They sacrificed in numerous capital fundraising campaigns so that they could remodel just about every room on our campus. They were the ones who started the mission conference in the Hispanic department, the faith-based recovery program, Faith Promise Missions. It was a great time to be part of a church. That generation were true to the doctrine and heritage of the church while still launching out by faith into new frontiers and reaching new people for Christ. It was a wonderful chapter in the history of our church. And I would be remiss to say, how much I thank God for the people who have served alongside Tori and I for the last 9 years. God has done a work, and we have faced numerous trials and challenges in that time. But I can honestly say that the church is as strong and healthy right now as it has been any time since I've been here the past 17 years. Dr. Barber told me to tell you that with all of his heart, he believed that the future was bright and the best was yet to come. And I don't believe that because of me. I believe it because of the Lord, because with the Christian, the best is always yet to come. Yesterday in my office, I started down memory lane. I started thinking about some of the Epaphrases and John Marks and Timothys that have walked these halls. I thought about L.D. Kilman, longtime deacon and one of Dr. Barber's right-hand men. He was a poet and a prince of a man. I thought about Bill and Mildred Plumley. She would always come to church dressed so immaculately, like she had stepped off a runway. Bill was a big shot with Lockheed Martin, but he would always come to men's prayer breakfast on Saturday. And every time we prayed together, he would seek me out. And he prayed that the fire of God would fall on a young preacher and revival would come to our youth department. He was a wonderful man. I thought about the Philpotts, Moreland Stewart, the Fords, so many others. I thought about Mike Patterson, the finest missionary I have ever known. I thought about Brother and Mrs. Rigsby. I always think about him on anniversary Sunday because he wasn't the biggest fan of wearing these things. He would always say it's like putting pearls on a pig. Oh, their influence cannot be overstated. We wouldn't be the church we are today without them. I thought of Ernest Bartu, who directed our bus ministry for over 40 years. For David Miller, who served so joyfully behind the scenes. I thought about Dean Wimberly, my first soul winning partner. One of the best friends I've ever had, one of the finest soul winners I have ever known. Oh, there were so many before my time that I've never met, and I'll not meet until we get to that great church in the sky. So many that I've met over the last 17 years, I couldn't possibly begin to list their names. But the truth is, some of God's choicest servants have walked the halls of Worth Baptist Church. They taught us God's word. They taught us how to raise our families to live for God. They showed us what it meant to be a sacrificial, faithful church member. They've left us a legacy. The Bible says about David that he served in his generation and he fell asleep. And for 71 years, the people of Worth Baptist Church have served their generation. We ought to thank God for them. We ought to recognize how their lives have marked our own. And we ought to determine today that we will serve our generation as they served theirs. Why celebrate an anniversary? Why raise memorials in your Christian life? Well, number one, to glorify God. Number two, to recognize those people who have impacted and invested in you. Lastly, this morning, to rehearse and recommit to our founding principles. See, memorials teach. They preach a message to new generations who pass by them. They say something about what mattered back then and what matters today. Founding principles are important, aren't they? I tell you, any country or organization that forgets its founding principles is bound to experience mission drift. For instance, it might surprise you to learn that Harvard and Yale were once conservative evangelical seminaries training preachers to serve the Lord. They've drifted, haven't they? I thank God for places like the YMCA and Salvation Army, who are still doing so much good in our culture. But did you know those organizations were not just started with the social gospel in mind, but started to reach men and women for Christ? I think about the Methodist Church and the Wesleys who started that church. They were Bible preachers and they were concerned with holiness, like we heard about from Dr. Weaver today. They've drifted a long way from their moorings. You walk in today, you'll probably see some blue-haired lady pastor with a rainbow flag behind her. I'm telling you, any organization that does not submit to its founding principles is bound to drift. Paul told the church at Galatia, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ into another gospel." He told the church at Colossae, "Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ." We always have to be on the lookout. Well, what are the founding principles of Worth Baptist Church? If you were asked to teach the new members class and explain to those who are becoming part of the story and to say, these are the non-negotiables, what would you say? Let me give them to you very quickly. Just five that I thought of. Number one, biblical preaching. For 71 years, Worth Baptist Church has been known all over the world for solid, sound, bold, and biblical preaching. Amen. That has been our reputation, and it ought to be the reputation of any local church. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. For after that, the wisdom of God, after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. That's the main thing. It's always been the main thing. Someone asked Martin Luther, who was, of course, the human architect behind the Reformation, one of the greatest moves of God in all of human history, what was the secret to your success? As an old man, he simply said, all I did was pray and teach and preach God's word, and the word did it all. And for 71 years, the word has been doing it all, and it will still do it all till Jesus comes. Amen. Another one of our founding principles is, of course, loving fellowship. Dr. Weaver mentioned that this morning. Philippians 1 and 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Jesus said, by this shall all men know ye are my disciples, if you love one another. And if you're just coming into the story of this church, you need to know this is a church where we love each other. I'm going to tell you, like any family, we got a problems. We don't always get along. But there is a spirit of unity in this church, and there has been for a long time. This is the kind of church where if you're sick, somebody's going to show up at your front door with a casserole dish, because food is a Baptist love language. Can I get an amen? This is the kind of church where if you're sick, somebody's going to meet you in the ER, even if it's the middle of the night. When you miss church, some Sunday school teacher or somebody in your class is going to check up on you, not because they're nosy, but because they really care about you. Loving fellowship has always been part of the DNA of Worth Baptist Church. Number three, this is a church that is marked by sacrificial service. We serve the Lord here. When Tori and I were in our 20s, there was another young couple who was visiting the church at that time, and they had come from a big mega church. And to be honest, we wondered if the music here was going to do anything for them. And we certainly didn't have the big kind of blowout worship services that they were used to. But they kept coming back week after week. And finally, the lady said to my wife, you know why we keep coming? Because you people are serious about Jesus here. I think that's a great commentary on a church, isn't it? You're serious about it. Oh, we have a few people who drift in for one or two services a month, but that's not the majority of the church here. The majority of the church is in a Sunday school class. They come back for one of our nightly services. The vast majority of our regular attenders are allowing the Lord to use them in ministry in some significant way in their life. And if you haven't visited a church in a while, you need to know that really is outstanding. Too many churches have a consumer mindset today. They treat worshipers as customers. Everything is kind of built around getting people in the door, bribing them while they're there, and doing everything you can by hook or crook to keep them as long as they'll keep coming. I tell you today, we don't look at you like customers here. We look at you like fellow servants of the Lord. We've gathered here today to worship Jesus and to carry out the Great Commission, not to bribe each other. This is not the kind of church where 10% of the people do 90% of the work. We share the load around here. Because all of us one day when I stand before Jesus and hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And I just remind you today, if you're going to hear well done, you got to do well. You got to serve the Lord. Number four, radical commitment to the mission. These are our founding principles. Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And I want you to know that purpose drives everything we do as a church. I don't know if you know this or not, but Bob Barber was a witness, a soul winner. When he went back to Virginia to pastor his dad's church, he went to the radio station every day for 40 years. Think about that, every day for 40 years, to have an ongoing radio program so people might have access to the gospel of Jesus Christ. You only do that because you have a passion to get the gospel to people. Dr. Barber and Dr. Weaver are some of the most consistent soul winners that I know. A couple of weeks ago, I was visiting Dr. Barber in the hospital, and a lady came in to draw blood. And Dr. Barber asked her, so you're in the blood business, huh? I don't think she had been asked that question before. And she said, well, yeah, I guess I am. And he said, have you ever heard about the blood of Jesus? There he is, 92 years old, his body failing. trying to get the gospel to one more soul. I remember in my years of being on staff here, Dr. Weaver and I would go out occasionally on Saturday mornings. We'd be out around eating at restaurants or going to conferences together, and he always had a tract in his pocket, always trying to lead somebody to Jesus. I take the time to tell you that because I want you to know that's our heritage. That's the kind of church we have been, and that's the kind of church we want to be. And I remind you, soul winning is not just for pastors. It's for every follower of Christ. Amen. Listen to me today. If we are not making disciples, we have forfeited our reason for existence. Amen. Church that isn't making disciples isn't a church at all. It's just a bunch of disobedient Christians hanging out. And for 71 years, radical commitment to the mission has been a hallmark of our church. I tell you, I thank God for our missionaries. How about you? Oh, I thank God for them. They're scattered all over the world today. We have many who are member missionaries who've been sent from this church to the nations. Next week, two of our own, Joshua and Emily, and their family, are going to take a trip. They're going to another place that's very far away, and they're taking their two boys with them. And they're going to stay for a month. And they're going to try to figure out if they can work with the missionary and church planters there, who, if God would unite their hearts with him, and try to figure out what it would mean for them to live there and work there and give the rest of their lives there. I love Josh and Emily. They're doing a fantastic job. I wish we could keep them forever. But it has always been the heritage of our church that we send our best. The measure of our greatness is not our seating capacity, not how many attend church here on Sunday morning. The measure of our greatness is our sending capacity. Whether that's sending people long-term or short-term on our mission trips. A radical commitment to the mission has always marked Worth Baptist Church. And may it be so until Jesus comes. Lastly, we are marked by wholehearted worship. Paul told the church at Colossae, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." You say your worship is traditional. It's historic. It's reverent. I want you to know that those words are not synonymous for boring. They're not. We love the Lord here. We like to lift a hand every once in a while. We like to shout amen every once in a while. We like for you ladies, for your mascara to run a little bit when the Holy Spirit of God gets in a worship service. And I tell you, we can be traditional and reverent and historic, but we can also still worship God from the bottom of our hearts. And that's what we want to do every time we gather. Oh, in our heart, on our 71st anniversary, we ought to raise a monument today to glorify the Lord for what he's done, not only in the history of our church, but in our lives through the ministry of this church. To remember those who have invested and impacted in us, and to recommit ourselves to the principles that have made this church a great church for 71 years. One Christian wrote a prayer of dedication about his church, and I want you to listen carefully. He wrote, "This is my church. It is composed of people just like me. It'll be a friendly church if I'm friendly. It'll do a great work if I will work. It will make generous gifts to many causes if I'll be generous. It will bring others into its fellowship if I will bring them. Its seats will be filled if I will fill them. It will be a church of loyalty and love, of faith and service, if I, who make it what it is, am filled with those things. Therefore, with God's help, I dedicate myself to the task of being all those things I want my church to be." Years ago, Don Siss asked a question that changed the way I looked at church forever. He said, "If every member of my church was just like me, what kind of church would my church be?" Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank you for all of the blessings that have come into our life through this group of people we call Worth Baptist Church. And in this invitation, we want to set aside just a few moments to quiet our hearts, to give you all the glory for everything that's happened here. Lord, we remember those who have come before us, who paid a price so we could be here. And today, we want to follow in that legacy. We want to serve our generation like they served theirs. And Lord, we remember the non-negotiables. We recommit ourselves to those things. We pray that this church, through us and through the leading of your Holy Spirit, will continue to be all that it has been for these past 71 years. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.